Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God who's head of my life. Amen. To everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for his saving grace and his saving power. Amen. As we all encounter a roadblock this morning, you know, we didn't allow it to hinder us. Amen. Amen. That's such is life. Things are going to be put in your way. But you got to make the determination. Are you going to sit there? Are you going to figure out how to go around it? Or will you let it to continue to keep you conformed? Amen. Amen. We all read the sign, road closed. But we made the decision to not hinder us from being here. Amen. Even when we couldn't get around the one way, we went around the other way. Amen. There is an opening. Amen. You got to stay with it. Amen. I could preach off of that, but amen. 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 Many of us made it. And there's few that read it and turned around. Amen. Amen. So we got to be strong in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to kind of be a little bit all over the place, but just bear with me in this chapter. Mark chapter 10. I'm read verse 52, but I'm going to come back and read some other verses for you within this message. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? As always, I'm reading from the King James Version. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Thy faith had made thee whole. The first recorded instances of Jesus saying, your faith has made thee whole, is found in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22, where Jesus heals the woman with the issue of blood. The same incident is also recorded in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, where Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus also says, thy faith has made thee whole to the 10 lepers and a blind beggar. When Jesus said to certain people, your faith has made you whole, he was saying their faith, in other words, their confidence in him, had been the means of their restoration. The power of Christ is what affected the healing, but his power was applied in connection with their faith. Just as the faith of some enabled them to receive healing, healing is sometimes hindered by a lack of faith. Amen. And the Bible says that, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So in the same way, salvations come to a sinner through faith. Everyone who is saved must believe, but it is the power of Christ that saves, not the power of faith. Faith is only the instrument, not the power itself. Jesus did not heal all the people all the time. For example, in the scene of the disabled man at the pool of Bethesda, I only read of one person being healed in that particular moment. Amen. So my thing is, what I'm trying to tell you, something happened when Jesus is near. Faith and hope and the promise of new possibilities arises in the hearts of those who encounter him. Jesus, the disciples, and a large crowd were actually leaving the city of Jericho. And nearby sat Bartimaeus, blind and begging. The blind man heard that Jesus was passing by and headed out of the city. Bartimaeus' window of opportunity was starting to close. If Bartimaeus allowed Jesus to continue on his way, Bartimaeus would have remained in the same sorry state he had spent his entire life. Something was happening in the heart of Bartimaeus. He began to understand what he heard about Jesus. He had heard that Jesus made the deaf. The deaf could hear. And he also heard that the dead can be raised. The blind could see. And now Bartimaeus, Jesus is walking by. In other words, that means he's near, he's close to him. So you need to recognize that Jesus is near this morning. You may have felt like Bartimaeus, overlooked, forgotten by God, mistreated by life, labeled by your condition. Bartimaeus was known as blind Bartimaeus. His disability became his name. This same Jesus that drew near to the blind man is near to us today. How do I know that Jesus is near to us today? Well, the scripture says in Matthew 18 and 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." So I'm telling you that he is present with us right now, at this very moment. Where the people of God worship him in spirit and truth, exalt him to the highest, Jesus is right here operating in the midst. The Bible declares in Psalms 22 and 3, "But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praise of his people." God is right here with us, enjoying the worship. The only spectator that should be here this morning should be Jesus. The rest of us should be praising the Lord. He's the only one that should be a spectator this morning. And you need to understand something. You need to understand this, because this is going to come up in your life. There is a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. Just because God is everywhere does not mean he make himself known everywhere. There are times and seasons determined by the power of God when he draws near. God is attracted by those who passionately pursue him. Jesus taught of three realms of prayer in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. Let me just read this. It says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." For things we face, it takes more than asking, more than seeking. greater levels of crisis and of need require a greater response towards God. Bartimaeus had to persistently and passionately knock in order to enter into a new season with God. The reason I think we fail to recognize the time of Jesus' visitation is that there are times that we are blinded in life and cannot see Jesus for ourselves. Sometimes the cares of the day and the weariness of life and temporarily blind us or numb us of our senses that we cannot perceive the nearness of God. But that didn't stop Bartimaeus. Why should it stop us? When you can't see, feel, or sense the presence of God, that is the time to find someone you can trust who can sense his presence. When a child of God tells you God is close, he is near, take him or her for their word, because they've been in the presence of God before, so they know what it feels like. So if they tell you that God is near, he is present right now, take them for their word and go for it. You can begin to lift up your hands and shout out to God because God is near. Trust me, God is near his children. My children, I'm always near them. All I need is for them to call my name. I can hear them. And I'm right there on the scene. So I want you to tell somebody, God is near. Because when people always want to know, where was God? God is always present. You never have to ask, where is God? Where are you? So if God is near, anything can happen. As you encounter, you begin to see by faith the possibility of things you only dreamed of or thought could never be possible. So if Jesus is near, you must refuse to let him pass you by. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, in other words, shout and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Like Bartimaeus, you must cry out until you are heard. Y'all ever seen somebody that's drowning or somebody that's in need? They continue to cry out until they're heard. So you need to understand, even if the breakthrough comes next week or next month, faith will come that can move mountains. In other words, move out every obstacle that stands in your way. Bartimaeus began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Underline that because I'm going to come back with that one. Some have tried believing God without any encounter with him, without having a visitation. It is not enough to know that Jesus is near. You must be like Bartimaeus and refuse to let him pass you by. Your pursuit must be with intense. The word of God says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you can find it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have this promise that God will fully respond to our active, passionate, intense pursuit of him. This is how things work in the kingdom of God. It is in a passionate encounter where you pour your heart out to him with many tears, and finally there is a breaking, and his presence and the nearness of his glory floods your spirit. It is in the encounter with Jesus that faith is conceived, and then your heart comes to the reality of the possibility of things coming into existence that never existed before. Let me explain this to you. I remember a time when I was cleaning up the church some years ago, almost some 20-some years ago, and I was cleaning up the church. Didn't have a job. Cleaning up the church. Gave the money back to the church. Cleaning up. And all of a sudden, as I was walking towards the altar, cleaning up the church, man, I began to start bursting out in tears, crying out to God, asking God. I said, Lord, I need a job. Lord, have mercy on me. Crying out to God, asking God to hear thy servant's prayer. God answered my prayer. Because it was a sincere heart that was reaching God at that moment in life. Some of us just say, well, God, give me this. God, do this. It doesn't work like that. God looks at the heart. The heart will tell you a lot. You understand what I'm saying? The heart will tell you a lot about an individual. If you're in pursuit of Jesus, you have to close your natural eyes in order to see by faith. Blind Bartimaeus saw something that the crowd and even the disciples didn't see. The crowd and even the disciples were limited to what their own eyes and natural minds could tell them. Another time, Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and wanted to see what revelation the disciples were operating by. It's a test. He told the disciples, go feed them. Philip answered, where could we get bread out here? Come on now. Where are we going to get food from? Philip considered his situation without considering what God could do for them. Philip's answer was a calculation from a mind that was under a limited understanding. He made a deduction based upon the limitation of humanity and concluded by his confession that the situation here at hand was hopeless. Where could we get bread out here? That is why the disciples wanted to send the people out late in the evening to find their own food. But I'm sure that Jesus wanted to say to him, do you know who I am? You better ask somebody. Don't you know what I can do, that all things are possible if you only believe? In other words, Philip needed an updated revelation about Jesus, because obviously he didn't understand who he was in the presence of. Sometimes we don't understand who we're dealing with. Amen? We don't know who we're messing with. The woman with the issue of blood said in her heart, if I could only touch the hem of his robe, I know I will be healed. She saw something that others missed. Do you think that she was just knocking? She was in an active pursuit of Jesus. Many touched him that day, but only one person got healed. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that touched him, and I'm sure they touched his robe, but there was one person that was in an active pursuit of him. See, many people that come in your presence ain't really trying to help you. They just trying to get in your business. But this lady was trying to get in Jesus' presence because she knows that if she could just get close to him and just touch just a little bit of his heel, she would be made whole. Seeing by faith is seeing the reality of possibility of things that never existed before. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus passing by in the spirit, he saw the possibility of seeing becoming a reality. He had to see it by faith before he could receive his sight. He saw by faith what others could not see about Jesus, but also saw the reality of what was before impossible. Y'all understand that? Bartimaeus, the blind man, was reaching out, crying out to the Lord. The Bible defines faith in Hebrews 11 like this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You got to believe it before you. Faith operates in the now. It may take some time for your faith to grow and take root beneath the surface in the spiritual realm, beyond where the natural eye can see and even beyond feeling, but it will come to pass. Your eyes will see it. Faith is a present reality. Now faith is. Don't wait until you have to have faith. You have to have faith before you have faith. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you have received those things you asked for, and you shall have it. I'm trying to tell you, you got to have faith before you have faith. It is not enough to just pray. You must pray and believe. Amen? I mean, you can pray, but that you have to believe it. You know when faith is alive in your heart, there will be a witness, a feeling in your spirit, an understanding in your heart. If you're not sure, then you go back to Jesus again until that distance, that gap is closed. Amen? You got to close that gap. The witness of faith will be birthed in your spirit during a fresh encounter with Jesus. In Mark chapter 10 and 48, it said, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd would be against you one moment and for you the next. So don't be surprised when others don't see what you see. Amen? People will look at you like you're crazy when they hear your confession of faith. Maybe your wife or your husband or your friend. The Bible says that the crowd and even the disciples severely rebuked Bartimaeus, commanding him to keep quiet. But this caused Bartimaeus to cry out even louder. By faith, he became more determined because he knew it was his time for an encounter with the one who does these miracles. Nothing was going to stop him from receiving it. So don't let Jesus pass you by today. You and I cannot afford to stay the same another day. So many people are enslaved to the opinions of the crowd. Watch this. Have you ever watched The Price is Right? The contestant on the stage will ask the crowd for what they think the right price is. Why? Because they can't make a decision by themselves. They got to find out what the crowd is telling them. Y'all follow them? Y'all watch Price is Right, right? Y'all ever see them when they on stage? They like this. Oh, we need an answer. They like what? Should I go higher or should I go lower? Should I go higher? Lower? What? Come on. Higher. Based on what the crowd is telling them, their blessing is dependent upon what they say. They'll either win it or they'll lose it, but it's determined on what they're going to the crowd. This is what we do. We are so hung up on what people feel. Now, I don't go to church no more. Hey, now, I don't do that no more. Now, I don't go to church. Now, hey, I don't do that no more. Why are you going to church? And then all of a sudden, you begin to doubt yourself. Why are you going? Because of what other people are saying. That's what we do. So many people are enslaved to what others think. Too many voices of the crowd. That's where we are. It is time to break free from what others think and say. Don't let the crowd stop you. Can you hear Jesus' voice, or do you hear the crowd speaking to you? There is only one voice that matters, and that is the voice of Jesus. Y'all heard it before. I heard what the doctor said, but what does the Lord say? Amen. We heard that before. Because Bartimaeus persistent and did not allow the crowd or even the disciples to extinguish his shout of faith, the Bible says in verse 49 that Jesus stood still. Man, I love that verse, man. I got to read that one. And Jesus stood still, verse 39, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, before of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. That's when you start shouting, when the Lord stood still. Jesus is passing by, yet the blind beggar touches the heart of the master. Not only does he stop, he calls Bartimaeus to himself. Me? Hold up, me? Calling him. He's calling him. You want me? Jesus stood still. Let me get you to understand something here. Understand something. We can shout all day, but let's slow down a moment. Listen to this. Not only did Jesus stood still, but think about who stood still. Not just anybody. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus is on an internal assignment from God. Jesus, who is on a timetable that's leading him to the cross. Jesus, Lord of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, God in the flesh, stood still. Think about this for a moment. When you check his record and the thread that runs through the Bible, Jesus stood still many times. Jesus on his way to Jairus' house to see about a sick little girl, but a woman elbows her way through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus did what? Stood still. Jesus is on his way to the temple, passes by the pool of Bethesda, and the lame man is standing there, and Jesus stood still. On his way to the cross, got something to do for us, but he took the time out to stand still. Passes by Lazarus' grave, stood still long enough to call him out. Y'all better recognize who he's serving. On his way to the cross, he could have very easily said, I got something to do. I don't have time for this. But he stood still. The crowd was ready to keep him going. Come on now. Come on now. We got something to do. We got some place to go. Jesus stood still because he heard something that he didn't hear before. Even though the crowd was talking, but there was a voice within the crowd that touched his heart that made him stand still. Listen to this. I even thought about this. It wasn't the president that was on the side of the road. It wasn't anybody that contributed to his campaign. It wasn't a politician. It wasn't a rich man. It was a blind man. That just cried out to God, have mercy on me. Listen to this. Do you know that the only reason we can call on God is because of mercy? Mercy is withheld judgment, just in case you didn't know that. If judgment took place in this room this morning, none of us would be here. I want you to know that right now. None of us will be here. We are here this morning because of God's mercy. That's why he said, have mercy on me, son of David. We are here this morning because God has withheld his judgment. Even on the pastor, I ain't perfect. Come on now. I don't think I have it all together. He had mercy on me too. This is why I'm able to stand before you, and I don't take this opportunity lightly. I'm always thanking God for this day to be able to teach you. You know, sometimes as I witness to folks and they ask, you know, well, you know, the, you know, people ask, you know, why are you going to church? You know, there's a bunch of hypocrites at church. And whenever I hear that, I realize that I'm talking to someone who really don't know what church is all about. We are not here today because of any self-righteousness on our part. But we are here because the saints of God are sinners who cried out for mercy. In other words, we are all sinners saved by grace. And we are here because of God's mercy. And yet, there are still some folks who want to block your blessing. In Mark chapter 10, verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, and rose and came to Jesus. Notice, people just stay focused on the, he heard Jesus, and thou shalt be made whole. But notice that he said he cast away his garment. In order to pursue Jesus, you have to throw off your outer garment of excuses. I'm going to tell you one thing I know about people, boy, they can give you some excuses. I mean, you don't have to be in a conversation with them long, and now there's an excuse that's going to come out of why they can't do something. Amen? They'll give you all kind of excuses of why they can't do it, or what's the reason. I started to come in here wrapped with a jacket on with a bunch of excuses all around me so we could all see how we look. Just a walking bunch of excuses. I thought that would be a little bit too much, you know. I just thought that would have been a little overkill, you know, just come just wrapped around, you know, waste of paper too, you know, just wrapped all up in it. We need the paper for other stuff. But I seriously thought about doing that, coming in wrapped around, got an excuse. Y'all know, I'm going to tell y'all how I am. I used to be. I'm trying to pray for me, y'all, pray for me. I took a post-it note. And I put it on one of my coworkers' back. And you know what on that note it says? I don't know my job. So she was walking around. This tell me just how sneaky I was. I said I was. I would take post-it notes and put it on people. You know, I didn't get in trouble for it because everybody had a really great compassion for me. But I would put post-it notes on people. I would say what people really want to say. I would say that this person right here, I don't know nothing. Don't ask me nothing. And then I had on this person, I'm just a sucker. I had all kind of notes on people. And then one of my coworkers said, look, you got a note on you. And he said, let's see what it said. And she read it. And he said, well, you got one on you, do I? Yeah. Everybody had a note on them but me. And they figured out, I know who did it. So I started to come in wrapped in excuses. But Bartimaeus threw off his garment, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What does the outer garment signify? It signifies excuses, person, reasons and fears, guilt and grief. You know that you are all tied up when you can explain what great details and how you think it won't happen. How this won't happen, this won't happen. Just always got something to say. people just come with their excuses. For others, the outer garment can signify a natural mindset of unbelief. What you need God to do is just too difficult, and there are too many reasons why it couldn't happen. We reason and we think, well, it ain't going to happen. So we need to throw off the outer garment. Throw it off and jump up. We need to then, when we get up, rejoice in the Lord. Jesus said in verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Let me translate that. What do you want me to do? What do you want? What do you need? And in verse 52, Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. What do you want me to do for you? This is what Jesus said to Bartimaeus. It is the moment when God rewards persistent faith. The words gushed out of his mouth. He said, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. What is it that you need from Jesus today? What do you want him to do? Can you see the possibilities? Open up your sanctified imagination and begin to see the possibilities of something coming into existence that never existed before. You need to do that. Something that you have longed for Jesus to do in your life. Something that you've given up on and that others told you that it would never happen. This is your time, says the Lord. What is it? What will you believe God for? You have his attention. He's near. This man had Jesus' attention. Jesus was near. It was time for him to open up his mouth and speak. Your faith has made you whole. Bartimaeus was given more than sight. He received wholeness in every area of his life, all because he recognized that Jesus was near and refused to let him pass by. Remember, the 10 lepers all were healed, but only one was made whole. Y'all remember that? They all were cleansed, but there was only one that was made whole. Immediately, he followed Jesus along the road, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus became a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. His passionate pursuit of Jesus for a healing became a firm commitment and took the next step and followed Jesus. Notice I said he took the next step and followed Jesus. So I don't know what your next step is this morning, but I do know that you need to take the next step. For some of you, the next step is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For others, it may be to be baptized. Maybe you need to actually join the church, amen, or a church, or get into a small group, or even pay your tithes that you haven't been paying, you know, or find a ministry that you can be involved in. For some of us, the step is different, but we all have a next step. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't take the next step, you're going to get stuck in a rut. And the only difference between a grave and a rut is the length. Did you get that? I hope you did, because that's the only difference between a grave and a rut is the length of it. You need to understand that. If you don't move forward in faith, you will die. Your heart will grow cold and you will feel more distance from God. Jesus isn't going to help you with step 3, 4, or 5 until you take step 1. Many of us want to be on step 3 and step 4 and 5, but we haven't took the first step. If you're asking God to help you with something, he's going to ask you, why haven't you done what I've asked you to do already? Y'all get that? Man, I heard my mother when I wrote that down. You want this, but you haven't done this over here. That ain't how it works. Before Bartimaeus met Jesus, he was sitting beside the road. After he received his sight from the Lord, he began following Jesus on the road. Amen. So what I'm trying to say, which two phrases fit you? Are you the one that's going to be sitting on the side of the road? Or are you going to be the one that's going to be following Jesus on the road? Amen. So which phrase do you want to be a part of your life? I want to be the one that's following Jesus on the road than the one that's sitting beside the road. There's only one way to follow Jesus on the road. You have to get up and take the next step. Faith is more than believing. Faith is more than thinking, talking, or having conviction about Jesus. Faith is action. It is movement. It is activity. Faith is something you do. The Bible says in James, if people say that they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Where do you get the faith to begin a fresh start? There's only one source, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything we have right now, right living, a clean slate, and a fresh start comes from Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus had no idea that Jesus was coming by. Had no idea Jesus was going to pass by that day. To Bartimaeus, it was just another day, but God gave him an unexpected opportunity that offered him a new start, a new season, a new beginning. God is giving you the same opportunity, so I'm saying to you, don't blow it. It takes your next step of faith before the opportunity passes by. You got to take the next step. You got to do it. You can't be letting people control what God is trying to do. You got to take the next step. Many people can come to church, hear the word of God, say amen, hallelujah, glory, praises to God. But then when they leave here, they go back to the same environment. Let me tell you something. Clean up that environment. Anything that is not of God, get it out. I don't care if it's a deadbeat boyfriend, get it out. It don't need to be there. Anything that's dead needs to be buried. I can do the eulogy for you. I show you how to do the eulogy. It ain't hard. What hinders you this morning is what I'm trying to say. What keeps you from getting to where Jesus is? What is it? What is it that is a stumbling block for you? What is it? Just like these barricades this morning on the road, you saw it, you read it. You went around it because you know that you were determined to get to a destination. You didn't let it stop you. Just like them barricades that didn't stop you, don't let anybody else stop you. It's just a hindrance. It's just to see how you will respond. Many people respond differently. Some people say, oh, man, well, I guess I can't go that way. We found out, oh, man, well, I'll come back later and see how it looks then. Then I figure. Some people say, well, I'm going to see what it looks like. Huh? Y'all heard them old folks? I'm going to run on to see what the end. Amen? We need to understand. He came to the master. The master says, what will thou that I should do unto thee? I heard you calling. I heard this crowd trying to get you to be quiet. Isn't that something? I'm just using my own mouth. Jesus said, I know the crowd was trying to keep you from shouting out to me, from receiving your blessing, but you remain faithful. God comes to the faithful, persistent person that regardless of what people are saying, you still saying, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. I'm a shout out to God. And God is saying, I heard you, Bartimaeus. And I stood still for you. Now you got my attention. What is it that you want from me? What is it that you need from me, Bartimaeus? I have it at my disposal. I don't have to consult with Congress. I don't have to consult with a board. I can give it to you right now. What is it that you want, Bartimaeus? Lord, I want to see. We need to understand Sunday to Sunday. People don't. Here's the thing. Bartimaeus told Jesus what he want. Now telling Jesus what he want, Jesus gave him what he want. Now after giving him what he want, now there's a response. There's an action that needs to take place. What is it? He can't be on the side of the road no more begging. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He can't be on the side of the road begging. Now you've been blessed. Now you have been delivered. Now you need to get up. Because now I know begging was comfortable with people bringing stuff to you. Now you need to get up and start bringing stuff to people. See, that's one of the reasons why people don't really want to confess what they want. Because now you got to do something. Because once your eyes are open, you got to assume new responsibilities. Once your eyes are open, you got to get off of the side of the road. Once your eyes are open, you got to get out into the position of a procession of life. And the problem is that we like to sit on the sideline because we really don't want to see. As the Lord passes by, Bartimaeus cried unto the Lord. There might be someone here this morning, and you need to hear from God. You've been crying out to him, Lord, hear me. Lord, God is here right now, this very moment, in the spirit, standing still for you. What is it that you want from the Lord this morning? You understand what I'm saying? Old folks used to say it like this. This may be your last time. Amen? Old folks used to say it. This may be your last time. This may be your last time. So you ought to call on to the Lord right now. This may be your last time to worship, so you need to call on the Lord right now. This may be the last sermon that you hear. You need to call on the Lord right now. This may be your last opportunity. You better call on the Lord right now. This may be your last time on this side. You better call on the Lord right now. What is it that you want? Because the Lord is present, ready, standing still for you. You ought to open up your mouth and say to the Lord what it is. If you don't receive your blessing, it ain't because a pastor didn't preach. It is because you didn't open up your mouth and say what it is that you need. Because I'm telling you that the doctor is ready in the house. He is a lawyer also. He's ready in the house. What is it that you need? Because God's got it. Anything you need, our Lord has got it. Anything you can think of, God's got it. I don't care what it is, some off-the-wall stuff, God's got it. And if he don't have it, he can create it. That's the God we serve. All he got to do is speak it and it'll happen. We serve an awesome God. You better believe that this morning. Bartimaeus on the side of the road, being hushed by the crowd, telling him to be quiet. He ain't got time for all that. He's on his way somewhere. But God heard a voice. God hears a sincere heart. Question is, are you sincere this morning? Bartimaeus rang out a shout to the Lord. You can shout right where you are, and the Lord will hear you. The question is, will you open up your mouth and shout and say to the Lord what it is that you need? Amen.